Now we're holding on Pehe Omidbey's 13 lines from the bottom. Since we've been learning about Kisi Adam, about the whole mitzvah of covering the blood of a wild animal or bird, so now comes the question, what about if you need the blood itself for a purpose? Then what do you do? You can't very well cover it if you need it, but then what do you do, given that you have the mitzvah of Kisi Adam? So now the next piece is going to talk about that. So the Gemara says, Reb Chiya Nafala Yaniva B'Kitnei. Reb Chiya's flax was being attacked by Yaniva, some kind of insect or moth or whatever. Moths are a type of insect, but whatever. Some kind of creature that was eating his flax. So he needs to find some kind of insect repellent for it. And it was known in those times that there's the blood of birds helps keep these moths at bay. So he came to Rebbe to ask what he can do, what he can do about that. Because the question is, if he needs blood from a bird, if he checks it though, he's going to need to do Kisi Adam. So Rebbe tells him, Shkoil Oifa, take a bird, or Shkoit Abovisa de Maya, and Sheol. Maybe even Reb Chiya didn't know actually what would be effective to get rid of them, and therefore Rebbe has to tell him to begin with what would be an effective method of getting rid of these moths. So he tells him, Amalei Shkoil Oifa, he tells him, take a bird, or Shkoit Abovisa de Maya, shecht it over the pit where your flax is soaking in the water, de Murdach Dama, and now these moths smell the blood, but shove it lay, and they're going to leave it alone. It's a natural insect repellent. So that way you'll get rid of them. Rebbe tells him. The question is, how could he do that and not do Kisi Adam? Person shechts, even though he needs the blood, like a case like this, he still has to do Kisi Adam. So what should he do instead in order to be potter from Kisi Adam? Either he should do Nechira, which we've learned before, a couple of possibilities what Nechira means. It means ripping the animal from its nose, from its snout to its chest area, or it means stabbing. Rashi over here translates it that it means strangling, whatever, some kind of thing which is not a shchita at all. Or he rips out the simonim. And either way, that would be the way to do it. So here, Rebbe is telling him, though, to shecht the bird. The question is, how is that going to work? Then he still needs to do Kisi Adam. So the answer is, now you have the question, you know, so what? Let him use some of the blood as the insect repellent, and then do some of it Kisi Adam. So one answer is, so in fact, there's quite a bit of discussion among Achronim that maybe, in fact, you are supposed to, l'chatchila, do all the kisiyad of all the dam. In other words, Nela, for example, we're going to learn later on that if some of it squirts away, then you don't have to do kisiyad dam of that unless there's no other blood available. And the same thing, the blood on the knife. But all the blood that goes into the place where you're shechting, in this case, the pit of water that he's shechting into to use as an insect repellent, then he would have to do kisiyad dam of it, and therefore the question is how could he do that? But there's other answers. The fact is he needed all the blood, just some of the blood wouldn't be enough. And there's also a point that's brought up that the Ritva brings up, why couldn't he just shecht a non-kosher bird? Either because only kosher birds have that property that the blood is an insect repellent, or the Gemara is saying, fine, Rebbe could tell him to use a non-kosher bird, but the question is, would there be any way to make it work with a kosher bird as well, or is it only the way would be with a non-kosher bird? So we're saying that the Braisa says you have to do nechiro or akir or ikur, and you can't do a regular shchita. So the answer is ki osed of Dimi Omar. When Reb Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained say treif omalei. Actually, what Rebbe told him is not go and shecht it first. He told him first make a bird treifa, then shecht it. That way it'll be a shchita shein ru'uya. And as we learned before, Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon that when it comes to Kisi Adam, shchita shein ru'uya is not considered a valid shchita. Then you'll be potter from Kisi Adam. He also Rovin Amar, when Rovin came from Eretz Yisrael, the usual way was that Rav Dimi would come first and say something that they and tell over something that they learned in the yeshivas of Eretz Yisrael, and later on Rovin would come and give more details or clarification or whatever. So when Rovin came, he said, "Say nechir omalei." That actually what Rebbe told him was, "Go do nechira, go strangle it," or however you define nechira exactly. Well, we have two different versions of what Rebbe said. So why is that? Lamanda Amat Seitra, if my time, Allah Amat Sein Nechur. The opinion, Rav Dimi, who says that Rebbe told Rav Chiya, go and make it Trefa, why didn't he say instead, go do Nechira? The Chi Tema, are you going to try to answer Kasava Ein Shchita La'oif Min HaTorah? You're going to try to answer that maybe Rebbe holds like an opinion that we learned earlier in our Masechta, that a bird does not require Shchita Min HaTorah on Chirosei Zuhi Shchitosei, and that therefore doing Nechira for a bird would be functionally the equivalent minatora anyway of doing shchita, and after all by kisi adam the Torah doesn't say shchita anyway. It says v'shopach hadama. It says he spills his blood, which implies any way that makes the bird valid to eat minatora would require kisi adam. In fact, as we talked about the other day, Torah was in mention, for example, that a chatas a'oif, which you have to do melika, not regular shchita. Nevertheless, the Gemara had thought it would have required kisi adam were it not for the fact that we learned that kisi adam doesn't apply to kodshim. Why? You're doing melika and that's not shchita. But the fact is that melika makes it mutter to eat, and therefore that's considered to be fundamentally the equivalent of shchita. Well, if you say the same thing over here, but not Torah, you don't need shchita for a bird, just nechira, well, then wouldn't it be the same thing? That then nechira wouldn't help because, nonetheless, it still makes it mutter to eat. There is, by the way, discussion about that. Even if we say in shchita lo'if min ha-Torah, does it mean the Torah says any way you kill the animal is fine, or does there at least have to be some kind of cutting of the simonim? The Rashba, in fact, holds that it does require cutting simonim, just that you're cutting them the wrong way, you're not doing it as a proper shchita. So if we say that he's telling him to do nechira, it would mean a nechira which is, to that extent, considered enough of a shchita and enough of the equivalent of a shchita that the bird would be mutter. So are you going to say that Rebbe holds that? No, v'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, Rebbe Omer. Rebbe says that no. When the pasuk says kasher tzivisicha, Hashem tells Moshe, you should shecht as I commanded you, and nowhere in Torah Shabbat does it say the details of how to shecht. This teaches us about Torah Shabbat Peh. Malamach mitstava Moshe ala vesht v'alakona. This teaches us that Moshe was commanded by Hashem in Torah Shabbat Peh about the esophagus and about the windpipe, that those have to be cut, and that with a bird you have to cut through the majority of at least one of those pipes, and by a bird at least, and by an animal at least through the majority of both of them. And as we learned earlier in the Masechta, there's a hint for that actually in the very word kasher itself, where kasher stands for rubo shel echad kamoihu, and you also have a remez over there about the one simon versus two, etc. So Rebbe is clearly one of the opinions that holds that no, a bird does require shchita min ha-Torah. So here, actually, what it is Tosfos explained that the aleph stands for echad, teaching us that a bird you need only one. The shin of asher stands for shnayim, meaning an animal you need two, and the resh stands for roiv, that you need in each case you need the majority of each one, and the word kasher backwards is rubo shel echad kamoihu. Anyway, Rebbe is one of the opinions then that clearly holds that is required midaraisa. So you can't say Rebbe was saying that, go ahead and do that. So you can't say that according to him, Rebbe wouldn't say nechur, wouldn't tell Rav Chiya to go do nechira, because then it would require kisi adam anyway. Rebbe does not hold that. And the answer is, according to Rav Dimi, loymer boyakamar. It would be one of those needless to say things. Of course, Rebbe could have told him nechira, but in fact, Rebbe is telling him that even trefa would be fine. Loymer boyak say nechur delav shchita hiklal. Needless to say, if he tells him go do nechira, that's not a shchita at all, and then certainly it won't require kisi adam. I will say treif, but Rav Dimi is saying if he tells him go make it trefa and then shecht it, ema shchita chen or uyashma shchita, maybe you would think, okay, but the fact is it was a valid shchita after all. The bird is possible to eat. The bird is not kosher to eat because of the trefa, but nevertheless, the shchita was a valid shchita. So maybe it should require kisi adam. Therefore, Rav Dimi wanted to tell us the greater chiddush. According to him, the greater chiddush is like we learned yesterday that Rav Chiya Ba'aba had said that in fact, when it comes to when it comes to Kisi Adam, Rebbe does hold, like Reb Shimon, that Shchita Shein Ruya is not considered a Shchita, and therefore doesn't require Kisi Adam. As we learned yesterday, Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon in this regard, and meanwhile he holds like Reb Meir that Shchita Shein Ruya is a valid Shchita in when it comes to Oisav Es Benoy, and when it comes to most other areas of Halacha. So therefore, so that's the Chiddush that Reb Dimi wanted to tell us, which we wouldn't have realized. Okay. So in other words, yes, according to Reb Dimi, Rebbe could have told him either one, but Rebbe could have told him either one, but but he's saying that Rebbe told him, say Troif to give a bigger chiddush. Okay. Ulamanda almost say Nechir, what about according to Ravin, that Rebbe told him to go do Nechira? My time, Loy almost say Troif, why wouldn't he tell him instead to go make it Terefa? You're going to say because in fact Rebbe holds that wouldn't help because it may be a shchita sheiner ruya because the bird is treifa, but nevertheless that wouldn't matter. A shchita is still a shchita. No, va'amar Rav Chiya ba'Aba amar Rav Yechanan, as we learned yesterday in the Gemara, Rav Chiya ba'Aba said in the name of Rav Yechanan. Ro Rebbe dvarav shel Rav Shimon v'kisi adam. Rebbe found more compelling what Rav Shimon says about kisi adam u'shnoi v'loshen chachamim, and therefore he taught it in our Mishnah as the opinion of the chachamim, implying that that's the mainstream opinion. So clearly Rebbe does hold when it comes to Kisi Adam that you need a Shchita Ruya. So why, according to Ravin, couldn't Rebbe tell him to make the Bur Trefa instead, and it would still be fine rather than having to do Nechira? And again, the answer is Loy Meboya. And the answer is Loy Meboya Kama. The answer is, according to Ravin also, there's a Loy Meboya needless to say over here. Needless to say, if he tells him go make it treifa, and that would be effective, the shchita shein ruya lo shma shchita, because given that it's a shchita shein ruya, because again you can't eat the bird afterwards, then it's not considered a shchita and therefore it wouldn't require kisi adam. Avol say nechir, but if he tells him, you would think if he told him to do nechira, ema ein shchita lo ifmen atorah, maybe you would think that Rebbe holds like the opinion that says that birds don't require shchita min atorah, like we said before, or nechira say zui shchita say, and therefore that the nechira would be the equivalent of shchita, the libori kisui, and therefore it should require kisui, because on a minatoda level at least, if you only do nechira, you would be able to eat the bird afterwards. Kamash malan, kasher tzivisicha, therefore he tells him, like Rebbe said before, that we learn from the words kasher tzivisicha, that in fact, that Hashem gave Moshe instructions of shchita, and that it applies also to, it applies to both domestic, to both domestic and wild animals, as well as to birds. So there's no, so Rebbe does not hold like the opinions earlier in the Masechta, that birds don't require shchita minatoda. So in other words, according to both Reb Dimi and Ravin, Rebbe could have told Reb Chiya either one. He could have told him do Nechira or do Trefa. But each one, Reb Dimi and Ravin, are each one picking what to them is the greater chiddush that Rebbe could have told Reb Chiya, that he could tell him do Shchita, or he could tell him make it Trefa and then do Shchita, or he could tell him do Nechira, as the case may be. Each one has a greater Chiddush in it. One tells us that even though it's only Trefa and the Shchita itself is valid, nevertheless it doesn't trigger the requirement for Kisi Adam because Shchita Shein Roya. And the other one, that birds do in fact require Shchita in the first place, according to Rebbe, and you shouldn't think that Rebbe is one of the opinions that hold that they do not. Okay. So that's the bottom line, in other words. So since in this case, Reb Chiya needed the blood, and again, he needed all the blood, and he needed dafka the blood of a kosher bird, and so on and so forth, like we discussed, then Rebbe tells him, here's how you do it. You can't do it by doing a shchita, because then you're still going to be required to do Kisi Adam. Instead, what you need to do is you need to do something such that you won't require Kisi Adam in the first place, and now you can use the blood for your purposes as insect repellent over here. So that is in fact the halacha. Okay. Now, so the Gemara asks. So the halacha is that if you need the blood for some other purpose, like in this case, we need it for insect repellent, then you have to do it in some way where you're not going to require kisi adam. Now again, there are achronim who learn that maybe you don't require kisei adam of all the blood, and therefore conceivably maybe you could use some of it for this purpose and use some of it for kisei adam, but maybe not. Maybe you have to do all of it, or maybe in particular he needed to use maybe the only one that would be most effective would be the first blood that comes out, and that first blood is definitely chayav in kisei adam. So there's a few different possibilities, a few different possibilities that are brought up in this connection. Fine. So now the Gemara asks on the premise. We're saying that the whole story started that Rebbe's flat was being attacked by moths. So the question is, was Reb Chiya's flax, in fact, ever attacked by moths? So Ravin Ba'Abba, or Rav Ovin Ba'Shaba says, Mish'olu b'nei ha'goyla, from when the Bnei HaGoyla, the people from Bavel, came to Eretz Yisrael. Now, Rashi says, we don't mean at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash, the Anshei Knesset HaGoyla. What we mean is in later generations, when Torah was when knowledge and practice of Torah was starting to weaken among the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, the Pashtos, because of all the persecutions that they were suffering under the Romans, so there came a point when they're not being as devoted to Torah and Mitzvahs as Hashem expected them to be, and therefore they started suffering from various natural disasters. But once the Bnei HaGoyla came, and the Gemara says in some places that they in fact helped restore the knowledge and practice of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, and that includes Reb Chiya himself, so from then on, Poskua Zikin, from then on they stopped, from then on meteors stopped. Up until that time, they were seeing meteors or shooting stars or whatever, or comets or whatever, which are often a sign of disasters to come. Vaz voice and earthquakes stopped. Vaharuchos, and damaging winds, hurricanes or tornadoes or whatever. Vahar omim, and light and thunderstorms. So all of that stopped once the Bnei HaGoyla came to Eretz Yisrael and Nirschus. And from then on, their wine did not sour. So again, up until that point, they started having their wine was going sour, and they were having the other problems that we're saying over here. Rashi says, "Information is scalkalu hadurus," because the generations were getting ruined. They weren't on the high level they were before. We have to realize these were generations where they had just gone through enormous mesidus nefesh at the time of that with the Roman persecutions, but still, this is the next generation, and Hashem apparently perceived that they're not on the high level that they were previously. So therefore, these things started happening. But now, when the Bnei HaGoyla came, in their zchus, their wine no longer soured, and their flax was never again attacked by insects or by other problems. And the Nos, the Chacham Menem, Rav Chiya Obanam, the Chachamim specifically looked at Rav Chiya and his sons. They realized out of all the Bnei HaGoyla, many people had come from Babel at that time, but the Chachamim realized this is primarily in the Schus of Rav Chiya and his sons. Their Schus was now protecting the Jews of Eretz Yisrael from all of this. Keep in mind, by the way, we're talking about these Jews of Eretz Yisrael included Reb Shimon Gamliel, or if it was after he passed away, then it was Rebbe, so enormous level tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, and still we're saying that the schus of the tzaddikim from Babel who had come was even greater than theirs. So anyway, the point is, if the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, if their flax is not being attacked by worms or moths or whatever, then how would Reb Chiya's have been? And the answer is, that's exactly it. Ki mahanyos chosai or alma. Their schus is effective for the rest of the world, but for themselves not. For themselves, they might still end up suffering from these things. So Reb Chiya himself, his schus would protect everybody else's flax, but not necessarily himself. Not necessarily his own. Kidder of Yehuda Amar Rav, and this is like what Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, that the schus of tzaddikim sometimes is effective for others, but not for themselves. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, b'chol yem v'yem basko yotzis v'ymeres. Every day a basko comes out and announces, kol ha'olam kula nizim b'shvil Chanina b'ni, the entire world is being sustained in the schus of my son Chanina. This is of Chanina ben Dosa, the famous tzaddik. V'chanina b'ni, meanwhile my son Chanina, gai loy b'kav charuvin me'erev Shabbos. V'erev Shabbos, for him it's enough to have a calf of carobs, which as it is, carobs are like a very cheap kind of food. So this is during his lifetime, there would be this basko constantly coming out that he makes do with a calf of carobs of the bare minimum kind of food from one Erev Shabbos to the next. In other words, the idea is the schus of the tzaddikim is being saved up la'osid lava, and this way they themselves don't use it up in this world. This way they have a complete schar in Olam Haba. So it could very well be that that everybody else is benefiting from Rav Chiya being mayor, but meanwhile Rav Chiya himself does not have that benefit. One idea being, in other words, that sometimes Hashem decides there should be a certain, the Torah Chaim explains, sometimes there needs to be, Hashem decides there needs to be a certain amount of suffering on the generation. So now what you have is, we know in many places we talk about that the tzaddik is mechaper for the generation, so this would be an example of that. Hashem decided there needs to be, there need to be people in this generation who are going to suffer from this kind of thing. B'derech HaTeva would have been everybody. Now, in the S'chus of Rav Chiya, so Rav Chiya takes it on himself, and he has that, and everybody else gets away with it. The same way as Rav Chanina has to be the one who's living on the Kav of Caribs from one Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. But meanwhile, everybody else is able to have Parnosa Bahar Chava in his S'chus. In fact, the expression "dai loy b'kav charuvin," the Chassam Sofer, in fact, says on it, means Rav Chanina didn't even consider that to be something wrong. As far as he's concerned, it's perfectly fine that he's making do with a kav of carobs from one erev Shabbos to the next.
When did it ever happen in history that a tzaddik or several tzaddikim really prevented catastrophes from arriving at any time in history to the Jewish people?
Many times, we just don't know of all of them, but we know, of course, of the catastrophes. But remember, you know, history can't record things that didn't happen, right? So you have many times, only Hashem knows all the different things that could have happened and didn't. For example, it's brought that the Rebbe Rashab pointed out that in Tofresh Samach Beis in 1902, the Russian government was preparing harsh gzeiros against the Jews in Russia, and then those were nisbatel in some unexpected way. And the unexpected way, it turns out, that was when the Rebbe was born. Our Rebbe was born in 1902, and in other words, the idea is just the fact that a tzaddik came into the world was mivatel that potential gzeiros. And now you can imagine, you know, the regular run-of-the-mill Jews in Russia would have had no idea of that. I mean, they knew, of course, the Russians are anti-Semitic and are always out to get them, but they wouldn't have known that particularly right now a particular gzera is being thought of, and then all of a sudden unexpectedly gets dropped. Only great tzaddikim like the Rebbe Rashab would have known of that kind of thing.
Well, that's just the gzera that was delayed. It wasn't removed.
Look, I mean, ultimately, later on,
because anti-Semitism
again and again, of course, right. Well, that's what we mean. We mean at the time, in other words, yeah.
No, but for instance, Chizkiyahu, when the Babylonians came to Yerushalayim, then there was a nest, and they couldn't destroy Yerushalayim.
But that wasn't only in the source of Chizkiyahu. That was actually Chizkiyahu promoted the learning of Torah throughout the whole Jewish people, and you have the famous thing, he put up a sword in front of the Batei Medrash, and then everybody had better learn Torah or else, basically. So it wasn't just the source of one individual tzaddik. There it was that he was able to positively affect the whole generation. So maybe there's that difference. Maybe you have the difference whether the tzaddik is actually able to bring everybody else to have the same mentality as him and live on the same level as he does, versus if he's not able to, then his schus can protect them, but maybe not permanently.
You're saying Chizkiyahu used force to have the Jewish people learn Torah?
Yes, the expression in the Gemara is not Scherav al Piska Shal Beis HaMedrash. He stuck a sword in front of the entrance to the Batei Medrash and announced that anybody who doesn't learn Torah is going to be pierced with a sword. Yeah, so basically it was a matter of forcing people to learn Torah. I mean, one way you could look at it, you know, we learned about this in Sanhedrin a while back, but one way you can look at it is it was partially a matter of national security, because Chizkiyahu knew, based on divorce from Yeshaya, that yes, the safety of the Jewish people from Sanhedrin when he shows up is going to depend on how much they're learning Torah, and therefore anybody who shirks off is, you know, it's in wartime. If a person shirks their duty in wartime, then the penalties are pretty severe. So yeah.
But so how come other tzaddikim, our times never did that?
Different. Chizkiyahu was a king. He was able to. Not all tzaddikim had that ability. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's a long conversation. That's something for another time, really. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's go. Let's continue. Yeah. By the way, Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, refers over here to a Gemara, Yerushalmi and Ma'aseh Sheni, that also tells this about how the flax and the wine and whatever, and Rav Chiya and his sons and their schus, all this went away. And the Gemara finishes off over there with something similar to over here, that yes, many times tzaddikim many times tzaddikim benefit everybody else, but not themselves. And it gives the example over there, Mazutra, when other people were in trouble, he would fast on their behalf. But meanwhile, for himself, when he was in trouble, he wouldn't. He would just accept it. He would just accept that this is what Hashem is giving him. He would accept it to simcha. He doesn't go fast and daven to have it taken away. Fine. Let's go on. The Mishnah says, Cheresh shoit of a cotton sheshochtu. Suppose a cheresh shoit of a cotton shecht an animal. Va'achirim roin oisam. And other people are watching him. Now, at the beginning of the Masechta, where the Mishnah had told us that in that case, if somebody is watching them to make sure that the shechita was valid, then the shechita is valid. So now, chayev l'chasa, so then they're chayev to do kisi adam. Now you can't say the cheresh shoit of a cotton themselves are chayev to do, because they themselves are potter from mitzvahs. It means, in other words, Rashi points out, we're going to learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, that if Reuven shechts and fails to do kisi adam, then Shimon has to do it, then Shimon has a mitzvah to do it, or anybody else who passes by has a mitzvah to do it. So the same way over here, you have Reuven cheresh did a shechita, Shimon of Pikeach was watching him, so now Shimon will have to do kisi adam on behalf of Reuven. On the other hand, Dainan Levain Asman, but on the other hand, if the Cheresh Shoit of a cotton did the Shechita on their own, Potter Melachasis, then you're Potter from doing the Kisya Adam, because then we can assume that they messed up the Shechita. And we learned before already, we learned previously that if the Shechita ended up being Nevela, then you're Potter from Kisya Adam. So therefore, so in the same way over here, then you'd be Potter from Kisya Adam. The same way when it comes to Oisav Esbenoi. If a cheresh shoit of a cotton shechted, v'acherim roin oisam, and somebody else, a pikeach, was watching, Godol and a pikeach watched them to make sure that they did it correctly, also l'shchet acharem, then you'd be also to shecht the other one of the Oisav Esbenoi after them for the same reason. Their shechita was valid, and therefore that triggers Oisav Esbenoi. Beinon levein atzman, what happens if a cheresh shoit of a cotton shechted on their own without somebody watching them? Now, can you shecht the other one or not? Reb Meir, Matir, L'shchit Acharehen, Reb Meir says it will be kosher to shecht the other animal after them, because we're going to see in the Gemara, Reb Meir considers that there's no question that they messed up the shechita, and therefore the first one wasn't a shechita, and therefore Oisav Esbenoi is not going to apply. Chachamim Oisrin, where the Chachamim say not, for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara, because maybe it was a valid shechita after all. However, the Chachamim will agree that if somebody else shechts the other one after them, he won't be chayav malchus, because it's only a suffix. Rashi says it's a suffix hasra. In fact, it's not even a hasra that's a suffix. The actual action itself is a suffix as well. Whether he was Oran or Yisav Esbenoi. In fact, Masoras Hashas changes the word in Rashi from Hasra Suffolk and changes it to Avera Suffolk. In any case, so the Chachamim are saying you shouldn't shech the other one after because it is a Suffolk, but nevertheless, you can't give a person Malchus for a Suffolk. Well, so now the question is, in the Reisha, when it came to Kisi Adam, we didn't see the Chachamim arguing with the mayor. Why not? So Rabbanan, Maishna Reisha Delay Pligi, Maishna Seifa De Pligi. Why is it in the Reisha that the Chachamim didn't argue and tell him, why shouldn't the Chachamim say in the Reisha, you have to do Kisi Adam just in case? Or Maishna Seifa De Pligi, and why in the Seifa, when the Cheresh Shoit of a cotton shechted on his own, then we're saying definitively, you don't have to do, that the Chachamim are saying, because of the Suffolk, you shouldn't shecht the other one. Well, in the Reisha, they should also be saying, because of the Suffolk, you should have to do Kisi Adam. So the Gemara answer is, because, now you could say, of course, that it's a matter of shechita ruoya or shechita shein ruoya. But the fact is that even if it is as a practical matter, you can't eat it because of the suffix. But you could say, the mayor would say it's potter by kisi adam because it's definitely nevela. According to the Chachamim, you would say that, look, you can't eat it, so you don't have, so it's shechita shein ruoya. So you could say that. However, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that you see from our Gemara over here, if it's only also a suffix, you can't call it shechita shein ruoya. True, as a practical matter, of course, you can't eat it because of the suffix, but nevertheless, it could be that it was mutter after all, and therefore maybe you should have to kisi adam mi suffix. So the answer is, the Gemara says no, because Reisha, I aminin chayovin lachasis, because in the Reisha, if we tell them that you have to cover it, Amri, then people are going to mistakenly think, shchita ma'isi. People are going to think it was perfectly good shchita. People are going to say, you had to do kisi adam, so therefore it must have been a very good shchita, and therefore people are going to mistakenly eat from the shchita. So in other words, it would be, according to that way of looking at it, not only you don't have to do kisi adam, but you shouldn't. We're afraid that if you do, then you might come to eat from it. Now Tosfos explains based on the continuation of the Gemara. Ultimately, we're going to say most times a cheresh shoyt of a cotton shech without somebody watching them, most of the time the shchita is going to be messed up. And because of that, is a reason enough to make a gzera that you might eat it. But the Gemara is going to ask, in that case, then we're being inconsistent as far as Kisi Adam, as far as Oisav Espinoi. So that's the Gemara asks. So Reisha, Yamin Lachasis, if in the Reisha, if we say that we should do Kisi Adam, Amri, people are going to mistakenly think, Shchita Mao, you see, it was actually a perfectly 100% good Shchita. And then people are going to end up eating from the Shchita. And you don't want them to, because there's a high likelihood that the Shchita was messed up. So therefore, don't do Kisi Adam. And in fact, according to that way of looking at it, the Shach points out on Shulchan Aruch, it should be also to do Kisi Adam because of that. Precisely because of that, you don't want to mislead people. Well, the Gemara asks, Seif and Nami, Kim and Dekami Rabbanon, also Lushchet Achareim, Amishchit Amal Yisihi. Well, don't you have the same problem? If you don't allow to shech the other one of the Oisav Espinoi pair, then you're going to have the same problem. Once you say you can't shech the other one that day, people are going to think the first one must have been a good shchita. And again, you're going to have a problem that they might eat from the shchita. So how is it? So why is that any better? So if you're telling me don't do Kisi Adam because people are going to make that mistake, then here also the Chachamim should tell us, for the same reason, don't apply Oisav Espinoi over here because people may think that the first one was a valid Shchita. Now, again, you're not going to say because of that chashash, the Chacham should be allowing you to be over on the lav of Oisav Espinoi. But in other words, the Chacham are saying that given that, as the Gemara is going to say over here, most times a cheresh shoyt of a cotton does a shchita, then most of the time it's messed up. Then therefore, that should be a good reason already for the Chacham to apply a gzera in this case and say that you should and to say that in that case, go ahead and do Oisav Espinoi so that people don't get misled. And the answer is no, because Sefer Ami, Bistur, like coming by. Like, listen, you know what? In the Sefer, if you don't shech the animal that day, people are not going to say, oh, look at that. It means you can't shech it because the first one was a valid shchita. We might as well eat from it. People will say, look, you're not shechting the second one, so you don't happen to need more meat right now. It's not going to be so obvious that you're avoiding doing it because of Oisav Espinoi. Then the Gemara asks the Reisha Nami, I'm the Naka Chatzero Hutzarech, Nu, and in the Reisha as well, as far as Kisi Adam, still, you could say, you know what people might say, why is he doing Kisi Adam? Not because of the mitzvah, but just because he wants to keep his chatzo clean. So then in that case also, allow him to do Kisi Adam and don't worry about what people are going to think, because if anybody sees him doing Kisi Adam, they're not going to jump to conclusions and say, that means it was a valid Kisri and that means it was a valid Shchita, etc. People are going to think he's just doing it in order to clean up his chatzo. So the Gemara says, well, not necessarily, because what about Shachar B'Ashra, Ma'ikal Meimer? And what are you going to say if he shechts it over a garbage heap, where then you have no need to keep it clean, and if he does Kisi Adam, people are going to be misled. Or Baldi Molech, Ma'ikal Meimer. What about he comes to Beis Din to ask a Shaila? What if he sees that so Reuven, the Cheresh Shoyt of a cotton shechted, Shimon notices the blood over there, he comes to Beis Din and asks, do I need to do Kisi Adam? Then we're going to tell him, yes, do Kisi Adam. Then he's going to think, oh, well, then in that case, the Cheresh Shoyt of a cotton shechita must have been valid if a Chachamim, if the Rav is telling me to do Kisi Adam, and therefore I can eat it. So in other words, yes, there were definitely cases where he's going to be misled into thinking that it was a valid shchita. So the Gemara asks, okay, will the time ask Sefer Nami Boli Molech Ma'ikal Meimer? No, fine. So the case of the garbage heap is not going to be relevant as far as the Sefer, as far as Oisav Espinoi, but the case where he comes to ask a Shaila, can I shech the other one? And they tell him, no, don't shech the other one. You're going to have the same problem. He's going to mistakenly think that it means the first shchita was valid. So why is there a reason? So again, we're back to the question, why would the Chachamim hold when it comes to Kisi Adam? He's not required to. But when it comes to Oisav Espinoi, then the Chachamim are going to say, Miss Suffolk, don't do it. So the answer is Ella, no. So the answer is, all this time we were assuming the Chachamim are in fact arguing with the mayor only on the Sefer. No. As a matter of fact, the Chachamim are arguing on the entire case, on the entire Mishnah, the natural, they let a mayor, they're just waiting until the mayor finished saying his whole thing, and then they argue with him. So in other words, when we say the Chachamim Oisim, in fact, refers to both cases. It means that the Chachamim say that you can't shech the other one of the Oisim Espanai. They say also, in fact, you would have to do the Kisi Adam because of a Sopik. So we're not going to say, after all, that it's a matter of that we don't want you to do Kisi Adam and we don't want you to avoid Oisim Espanai because people may think the Shechita was valid after all. No, we're saying that the Chachamim are saying, go ahead and do it Misopik, do the Kisi Adam Misopik. Don't shech the Oisim Espanai. Don't shech the other pair of the other member of the pair of Oisav Espanai Misafik in case it might have been a valid shchita, but on the other hand, don't eat from it either because it might not have been a valid shchita. Well, so now let's figure out Bishleim LaRabbanan LaChumra. Well, we understand then the reason why the Chachamim are saying in both cases. Now that we understand that the Chachamim are arguing in both cases, then we understand the idea is they're machmir in both cases. So where you have to be machmir to do Kisi Adam because maybe you are required. Maybe it was a good shchita, and you can't do Oisav Espanai for the same reason. Maybe it was a good shchita. So the Chachamim are being consistent as far as that. Elad Meir my timer. Why does the mayor hold that you definitely don't do Kisi Adam and you could do Oisav Espanai? Why not be worried about the chumrah? And again, you can't say we're not necessarily going to say just because of a gzera so that people don't eat from it. Given that a suffix would require you to cover it and to not do oisav and not do oisav espanai, then why is your mayor being makel? And the answer is Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, b'chayiv hoy Rav Meir al shchitasin b'shum nevela, because there is a chumrah in it, namely that a mayor would hold that if a person were to eat from this animal that was shechted by a cheder shoyt of a cotton, he would actually be over on the issue of nevela. In other words, he's saying it's not even a matter of a suffix. It's pretty close to a vaday, according to the mayor, as the Gemara is going to work out now, that the shechita of a cheder shoyt of a cotton that was not being observed by a gadol or pikeach is going to be a messed up shechita, and therefore it's going to be nevela. And he would hold the person is actually chayav malchus for it. Well then, from that comes out a kula that therefore no kisi adam is needed and oisav espanai has not been triggered. So the Gemara says, my timer. Well, why is that? And the answer is, Amar Abami, Hover Roiv, Masay and Mekokolin. Because most of the time, when a cheder, shoyt of a cotton, shechts without somebody watching, then it's going to be a messed up shchita. Because of that roiv, that's reason enough to actually be mechayev him and to say that it's actually considered, to actually be considered nevela. So Tosfos explains the Chachamim hold we're not sure whether Roiv Maaseh Mekokolim or not. So now, even though as the Gemara is going to go on to point out, we have a Chazaka up until now that the animal was Aser. Nevertheless, the Chachamim are going to say that because of that suffix, then the Chazaka doesn't really help us one way or the other, as opposed to according to Reb Meir is certain that Roiv Maaseh Mekokolim. Tosfos also points out, we're going to go on to say in the Gemara over here, that Reb Meir is also Choshish for the mute. But the answer is, at this point, to say that what they did was a valid shchita would actually be, Tosfos points out, would be a miut, would be a minority of a minority, because you also have the chazaka to begin with that the animal was also until a valid shchita was done, and with all of that, even Reb Meir is not going to be concerned about that miut. Therefore, Reb Meir would say it's definitely also as nevela, and therefore a person would actually be chayav malchus for eating it, but then the result is that therefore, so there's no kisi adam and no oisav espanai. So, nevertheless, the post can discuss whether according to the mayor, we're saying that you're not required to, the mayor is saying you're not required, potter malachasis, but should you maybe do it or should you not, because of this zera that we mentioned before, that people might think that it's mutter, that you have a machloikas, a post about that, whether you're allowed to. So the Shulchan Aruch just says that you don't have to, implying you could if you want to. But the Shach says that actually maybe you Bedavka shouldn't, because like we said before, then people might think that the Shchita itself was good. Okay. So the Gemara continues, Amalei Rav Papa l'Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Yeshua. So Rav Papa asks Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Yeshua, or V'Amila Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Yeshua l'Rav Papa, or some say it was the other way around, Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Yeshua asks Rav Papa, Mai Ilya Roiv, when Rav Ami says the expression that Roiv Ma'asei M'Kokolin, most of what a Cheder Shoyt of a Katan do of Shchita without somebody watching is going to be messed up. Why do you even have to mention both? Why do you even have to mention Roiv? I feel a mute Nami, even if it was only a mute of them that messed up. Then also, the Hora Meir Chayush L'Miyota, because after all, Rav Meir, we find in different places in Shas, is concerned about the miut as well. Of course, Roiv is more important, but he says, in other words, like this, the Chachamim are going to say that when you have Roiv, then it means we ignore the miut altogether. Rav Meir holds that you do take into account the miut. You can't just ignore the miut altogether. Given Rav Meir's shita that you take into account even the miut, then even if it was only a miut of Cheder Shoyt of a Katan's shita, that would be no good. Then that would be enough to then Rav Meir would consider it nevela. As we know that Rav Meir is concerned, Rav Meir chayish l'miyuta. As we know that Rav Meir is concerned about a miut. As we're going to work out now in the Gemara. And the answer is because in this case, smoich mi'uta l'chazaka. It's not actually an answer. This is still part of the question. Smoich mi'uta l'chazaka. So now, on top of that, so fine, a miut by itself maybe wouldn't be enough for him to consider it definitely nevela and chayev malchus and potter from kisi adam and so forth. But now you also have combined together that miut together with the chazaka. The animal, after all, was also up until this point because eivim and achai. You need a proper shchita in order to take away the iser of eivim and achai. The itra le ruba, and with that takes off the strength of the roiv. In other words, sure, Rav Meir is of course going to say that you follow the roiv whenever possible, because achar ab lahatis. But Rav Meir would say that you do have to take into account the miut as well. And here, when you have a chazaka together with miut, then you have a strong reason to say that there's a very good reason to say that the shchita was messed up so much that you can actually be chay of him for nevela for it. So why does Rav Ami have to use the expression that roiv of shchita of the cheder shoyt of a katan is mekokol, when in fact even if it was a miut, then that would be enough? And we know Rav Meir holds that way. We learn in the Mishnah, tinik shenimtza b'tzad ha'isa. If you find a child next to a batch of dough, and the dough was supposed to be kept tahor, ubotzik biyada, and he has a piece of dough in his hand. The question is, did he take the dough himself? And he is likely to be tamei. Rav Meir matahir v'chacham matamin. Rav Meir says the rest of the dough, is still tahor, whereas the chachamim say it's tamei. And finish a davkish al tinuk l'tapeach, because a child usually pokes around in garbage heaps, and in garbage heaps you'll often find dead shrotzim, so now the child will become tummy by touching the dead sheretz, and in turn, he touched the dough. It's fairly obvious he touched the dough, considering that he has a piece of dough in his hand. So therefore, the Chachamim say that because of that roiv, then therefore we have to assume the child was tummy when he touched the dough, and therefore he was metame the dough. Tosfos brings a different explanation, that the word metapchim, that they poke around and touch, actually refers to the dough. In other words, we could look at it. How does this kid have to come to have a piece of dough? Did he take it himself, or did somebody else who was tahor break off a piece of dough and give it to him? Tosfos Sfer Rabbein Tam learns that what it means is roiv tinukus metapchim, as the Gemara is going to say, most children are metapchim, means most children, when they see a batch of dough there unattended, are going to go and poke around in it and take a little bit of it. Tosfos points out, it's not even a matter of a suffix whether the child is tamei. It's almost a vada that he's tamei. It's not even a matter of them poking around in garbage heaps and touching shrotzim. Just the fact that, for example, a woman who's nida is going to hug or kiss them, and with that, she's going to transmit to a nida herself as an avatoma, and she's metamei a person whom she touches, and therefore, for that reason alone, the child is tamei. So the only reason would be, the only way to say that the rest of the dough would be tahor is if you say that a tahor person instead took from the dough and gave it to them. So now, Ramin and my time is at a mayor, so why does a mayor hold the rest of the dough is fine? Because the mayor holds Roy Tinokas Metaprin, most children are Metaprin, according to Rashi in garbage heaps and according to Tosfos in the dough itself, Umiyot ain't Metaprin, it's only a minority who don't. On the other hand, the Isazuba Chesas Tara Emedes, this batch of dough had a chazaka of being Tahar up until now. Therefore, the mayor holds Smoich Mi Utala Chazaka, you can combine together the miut with the chazaka, and the itrelei roba, and therefore that destroys the roiv, and therefore we have reason that we can rely on that miut plus the chazaka. So in other words, again, according to the Chacham, we ignore the miut altogether, whereas according to the mayor, the miut still has a significance, and therefore, so the Torah tells us to go according to the roiv, but here where you have a chazaka as well, then the mayor is saying that you can combine together the chazaka with the miut, and therefore you have something to go against the roiv, and it's something to outweigh the roiv. Therefore, the mayor is saying that you can still consider the dough to be tougher. In any case, so we see that a mayor holds of that. So then why in our case over here did Rav Avi have to say that a mayor holds that most of the time when a cheresh shoyt of a cotton does the shchita, then it's going to be messed up? Why can't we say that even a miut of it based on this? And the answer is, im yu omru safak tumah l'tahar, yu omru safak isu l'hatar, because it's one thing. When it comes to tumah, we can say a safak tumah can be made tahar by virtue of miut plus chazaka. Where we have examples like that, where we have a Suffolk tumah, and sometimes we say that we can say a Suffolk tumah is tahor. We have examples like that when it's in Rosh Hasharabim, or we have also there's a distinction between whether you're able to ask him. Here we're talking about a little kid who's too little to be able to ask him, did you touch this, or did somebody give it to you, or did you poke around in the garbage or whatever. So therefore, so we have reasons to say. But Yomru Sofik Isur Lahatur, how can we say when it's a matter of Isur the Heter? So therefore, and Kisi Adam and Oisur Vesbenai, it's a matter of Isur the Heter, so we can't, so even mute plus Chazaka would not be good enough to override that, and only if you have an absolute Roiv, and therefore we have to say that Rameya is saying an absolute Roiv of the Shvita, the Cheresh Shoyt of a Cotton, are no good, and therefore that he can definitively say that it would be also as Nevela, and he can definitively say that therefore doesn't require Kisi Adam and it'll trigger Oisav Espinoi. But when it comes to, but that's a sort of, but by Isur V'Heter, in other words, Miut plus Chazaka is not going to be enough. You're actually going to require Roiv, as opposed to when it comes to, by the case of Tumah V'Tahara, given that we have, anyway, cases of Tumah V'Tahara where we're Mekel, because when we're Mekel, then such as by Inush Rasarabim, or Ein by Dastly Shoyl, or whatever, then we can be Mekel in this case as well. In fact, Tosfos says that maybe when we say most children are metapchin, is maybe not a roiv gomer. Maybe it's almost a roiv. Maybe it's like a bare minimum of a roiv or something. Okay. So that would be why Rav Ami used the expression that roiv of the shchita of a cheresh shoyt of a cotton when they do it by itself without being washed is no good, and therefore that would be why Rav Meir is saying you don't need kisi adam and you can do oisav esbenoi and it's not a problem. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Hoyer Rebbe could have Meir v'hoyer Rebbe kachamim. One time Rebbe Paskin, like the Mefarshim point out one more thing. Rav Ami could have said it's not even a roi, but you could say half and half. But then once you have also the cheskas iser, then that would be enough to be considered a majority. So one answer is the Rosh and the Ritual say, look, you know, realistically, you're going to have it's exactly half and half. It's going to be realistically either the majority one way or the other. A different way, Marsha gives a different answer that the mayor would not allow a chazaka to outweigh things where it's exactly 50-50. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara says, Hoyer Rebbe could a mayor v'hoyer Rebbe kachamim. One time Rebbe paskin like the mayor, that in a case like this, cheresh shoyt of a cotton shechted, without anybody watching them, that it definitely doesn't need kisi adam, and it definitely, you can do oisav esbenoi afterwards, and another time he paskin like the chachamim, that it's a suffix. For the Suffolk, you have to do Kisi Adam, and Suffolk, you can't shech the other one. Okay, of course, Kisi Adam, maybe he held like the shach that you shouldn't because of the Gzera, but in any case, by Oisav Espinoi, he said as a Suffolk, you shouldn't. So the question becomes, which one is Rebbe's second, is Rebbe's second sack? Obviously, it means, in other words, that if Rebbe one time passed in one way and one time another way, it means he changed his mind, which one represents his original opinion versus which one represents his final opinion? So the Gemara says, Toshma, we can prove, Rab Abba, B'rei de Rab Chiba Abba, V'Rab Zera, Havu Kaim B'Shukah de Kesri, one time, Rab Abba, the son of Rab Chiba Abba, and Rab Zera were one time standing in the marketplace of Kesri, in the city of Kesri, at Pischa de Beit Medrash. They were standing by the door of the Beit Medrash. Nofak Rab Ami, Rab Ami came out from the Beit Medrash, Ashkechinu, and he found Rab Abba and Rab Zera standing over there. Amalahu, so he tells them, Lava Minalahu, haven't I told you before, the Idan Beit Medrasha, at the time when the Beit Medrash is in session, Loita Kimu Avroi, don't stand outside the Beit Medrash, even though surely you're learning Torah over there yourselves, you're not just wasting time over here, but nevertheless, when it's a time of the Beit Medrash, which is also, they're not just learning Torah, it's also a time when they're open for shilas from people, so you shouldn't be standing outside. You might have a person who needs a statement in Torah, a person comes, or you might have a regular person might come in with a shilah, or it might be actually one of the Chachamim in the Beit Medrash, has a question about a detail in the learning that he doesn't know. And now if he doesn't find you over there, then he's going to be distracted. He's bothered by the fact that he has this question, and therefore he's going to have a hard time. So now Rab Ami is telling Rab Abba and Rab Zera, you are senior Tamil Chachamim, you should be inside. So that way, if something like that comes up, you might be able to answer it on the spot, and that way the person will be able to continue his learning with a clear mind. The Gemara continues. Rab Zera ol, Rab Abba loy ol. So Rab Zera listened, but Rab Abba did not. He still stayed outside, or maybe he just left because now he has nobody to talk and learning with. Yosri v'komim boy lahu. So now the Chachamim, sure enough, in the Beis Medrash, they were sitting and asking the following question, like we said before, Rebbe's two piskei din, where one time he paskin like Rab Meir, another time like the Chachamim. Which one was the second one? Which one was the last one? Omalahu Rab Zera. So Rab Zera says, you know, it's a pity it's a pity that Rab Abba left. Lo shvakdun li di shayla l'sava. You didn't give me a chance to ask Rab Abba, who was standing with me outside. In other words, I didn't know. It's true. I didn't know when we were standing outside. I didn't know you were discussing this in this medrash. But you didn't have to. You asked me to come in, and I came in, and Rab Abba didn't. Like this, if you had instead come out and told me, you know, we have this question in the Beis Medrash, you should have told me that the question was being asked, and I could have asked Rab Abba, I could have asked the elder Talmud Chacham, Yom Shmiya Le Vavua, because he might have heard the answer from his father, Vavua Mine de Rabbi Yochanan, and his father, Rab Chiya Abba, in turn, might have heard it from Rabbi Yochanan, and we have good reason to think that he might have. Because Rabbi Abba every 30 days would go and review all his learning in front of Rabbi Yochanan. So in other words, he was one of Rabbi Yochanan's senior talmidim, and he if there was anything that Rabbi Yochanan said, then Rabbi Abba would know it. So in other words, Rab Zera had said, why'd you just told me to come in without telling me what's going on. And meanwhile, Rab Abba didn't want to bother coming in, and he left. Instead, now we missed the opportunity. I could have had a chance to ask him what Rab Yochanan in fact said about this. So then the Gemara continues, my havi Allah. So what's the bottom line? How do we determine which was first or which was second? And the answer is Toshma, we can prove the Shalach Rab Elazar LaGoyla, that Rab Elazar sent a message, who was one of the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, he sent a message to the Goyla, to the Chachamim in Bavel, Hoda Rebbe Kirab Meir, that you should know that Rebbe passed him like the mayor. V'hok Rabbanan Nami Ori. Now the question is, what do you mean? We just said that he also one time passed him like the Chachamim. El Alav Shmamina Hadafrida. Obviously, therefore, the one like Rab Meir must have been Rebbe's second statement, and therefore Rab Elazar can send as a generic fact that Rebbe passed him like Rab Meir, meaning that represents Rebbe's final opinion. Shmamina. So good, that proves it. The halacha in this case is like Rab Meir. So again, the shchita of a cheres shoyt of a katan without anybody watching is indeed considered nevela to the extent a person could get malchus from it. It's potter from kisi adam, and it won't trigger oisav es benoi. Now again, whether you could do Tisi Adam, that's subject to a machloikas, achroinim, according to the Shach, you should not do the Tisi Adam, because people may mistakenly think that then the shchita is mutter, whereas according to other poskim, that's not an issue. Actually, the Teferis Yisrael points out, not Teferis Yisrael, Teferis Yaakov rather, points out that the Toshma over here is actually part of that discussion. When Reb Zera is saying, you know, you didn't, it's too bad, I didn't have a chance to ask Reb Zera, then they continue discussing it in the Beis Medrash, and then they realize, you know what, Reb Elazar one time sent this message, and there was our answer. Okay. The Mishnah says, Shochat Me'achayis B'mokam Echad, suppose a person shechted 100 wild animals one after the other in the same place, Kisi Echad B'kulim, he doesn't need to do Kisi Adam between one and the next, he just does one Kisi Adam at the end. Similarly, Me'a'oifis B'mokam Echad, similarly, if he shechts 100 birds in one place, then also Kisi Echad B'kulim, he only needs to do one Kisi Adam at the end. Or Chayav Oif Mokam Echad, what if he shechted a wild animal and a bird in one place, also Kisi Echad B'kulim, then he can do just one Kisi Adam at the end. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Shochat Chaya, if he shechted a Chaya, Yechasena, then first he should do Kisi Adam, V'achachach Yishchat Esa'oi, and only then should he shecht the bird, and so only then should he shecht the bird, and then do the Kisi Adam of it. So in the earlier cases, Rabbi Yehuda agrees it's all the same type, that it's all chaya, it's all oif, so even though they're different species, then fine, all chayas for this purpose are considered the same, and all oifas are considered the same. But Rabbi Yehuda would say, Rishonim explained, that Ramban and the Ritva explained, that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that these are two steps for a chaya and an oif, it's two separate mitzvahs, and therefore you should be doing them, and therefore you should be doing them individually. And also, as the Gemara is going to point out, the Kisi Adam is considered basically to be the end of the Shchita, so therefore, once you should finish the whole Shchita, finish the whole process of the first Shchita, including the Kisi Adam, before you start another mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, we learn in a Braisa, the idea behind it is Chaya, Kol Mashma Chaya, Ben Mirubo, Ben Miratis. When the Pasuk says that a person shechts a Chaya, so then that means any kind of chaya. So whether there's a lot of them or whether there's a few of them, because the word chaya can mean singular, but it can also mean a mass noun, so therefore it can be a plural. Similarly, oif, kol mashma oif ben merubo ben mort. The same way, when it says oif, the word oif can mean a singular, but it can also be a mass noun, meaning that it covers a lot of them, so therefore it can mean all birds. Vitan omru, this is based on this, is what the Mishnah had said, Shochat Me'achayis Mokam Echad, that if he shechted 100 chayis in one place, Kisi Echad L'kolon, then he can do one Kisi Adam, and it's good enough for all of them. Me'a'oifis Mokam Echad, if he did 100 birds in one place, Kisi Echad L'kolon, then he does one Kisi for all of them. And Chayav Oif Mokam Echad, if he does a Chaya and an Oif in one place, Kisi Echad L'kolon, then according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, also one Kisi is good enough for all of them. Because when it says Chaya Oif, it means one chaya, or it means many chayas. It means one oif, or it means many oifas, and therefore you don't need a separate. Therefore, you don't need a separate kisui for each one. So that's the reason behind the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, now on the other hand, we said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda had said that no, Shochat Chaya, if he shechted a Chaya Yechasena, first he should do Kisi Adam for it, V'achachach Yishchat Ezoiv, and only then should he shech the bird, because he says, Shenema Chaya Oi Oif, because the Torah doesn't say Chaya V'oif, it says Chaya Oi Oif, a Chaya or a bird, so the or comes in between to tell us that it means they have to be two separate things. Omru Lois, so the other Chacham said, why? Harehu Oimaki Nefesh Kobasa, Domi Benafshe Hu. Doesn't the Pasuk say the soul of all flesh, its blood is its soul? So now, how is that an answer to what Rabbi Yehuda said? The Gemara says, Mai Kamahadri Lei. What are the Chacham? How is that an answer to what Rabbi Yehuda had said? So the answer is that we're missing a part of the discussion. Means Hachi Ka'amri Le'Rabbanan. The Chacham was saying to Rabbi Yehuda, you're telling me the word Oi means that there's a distinction between them, and when you have a Chaya, you have to cover the blood first, and then an Oif. The Chacham tell him, Ha'ai Oi Mibai Le'Lachalik. Look, you need the word Oi to tell us that it's two separate things. If it said Chaya Ve'Oif, you would think that a person's Chaya Kisi Adam only if he shechted a Chaya and an Oif. So you need the word Oi to tell us it's one or the other. So Tosfos points out that in the previous perek we talked about whether Rabbi Yehuda, we talked about the word oy over there, shtor oy chesav oy eiz, that it was meant machalik. But over here Tosfos has said, but over here Tosfos explains that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, after all, we have a suffix, whether it's so. We learned before a suffix about choshesh and lezera'av, that we have to be concerned if it's a hybrid of two different species, does that come into play, or not? Do we consider the father or not? So over here, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, maybe we do, maybe we don't, and therefore, not necessarily, and therefore, he says the oy over here has to be lechalik to distinguish, he says that the oy over here is not lechalik, well, he says the oy is not lechalik, and instead, we're going to learn lechalik from something else. So Chacham is saying you can't use oy to tell us that it means that if you did one, you have to do kisui of it, and only then can you do the other, because the oy just tells us that you shouldn't think, you have to shecht both to trigger the mitzvah in the first place. Rabbi Yehuda answers back, l'chalik midomay nafka. You don't need that. The fact is, the Torah says, v'shofach has dom moy, he should spill its blood in the singular, so that teaches us that it means that he shechted only one creature, and he's chayiv in kisui adam. So therefore, I don't need the word oy for that. The Rabbanan answered, domoi tova mashma. The fact is, the word domoi can mean many different creatures, even though it's phrased in the singular, dichtiv ki nefesh kolbasa, domoi benafshei hu, because we see that the Torah says that the life force of all flesh, its blood is in its soul, is in its blood is in its soul. So you see that domoi refers to many different creatures. So therefore, don't tell me that domoi by itself means you shechted only one yuchayev. No, you wouldn't have known that, because domoi can also mean all of them en masse, and therefore you need the word oi to tell us one or the other, and therefore we don't have the word oi available to teach us that you should have to do kisya dam after one versus after the other. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda would say that kind of, you can learn both things. You can learn that it means that even if you shecht it only one, but you can also learn that it means that if you shecht chaya and oif, then you need to do each one separately. Okay, so in other words, the Braisa, as we had it, brought the beginning and the end of the argument. It left out the middle part. So that was why the Chachamim's answer seemed to be out of left field. So the answer is there was a discussion back and forth which is not recorded in the Braisa. Okay? The Gemara says, Amar Rav Chanina, Moida hoi Rabbi Yehuda lein in bracha. Rabbi Yehuda does agree when it comes to the bracha on the shechita, she'enim v'orach ela bracha achas, that you say only one bracha on the shechita of the chaya and of the oif. Even though he's saying that you have to do kisi adam of one and then of the other, and then do the shechita of the other, nevertheless he agrees that the kisi adam is not considered to be a hefsek in between. So now Rashi is mentioning specifically the bracha of the shechita. Now there is also a bracha on kisya dam as well. So in fact, Rishonim learned from that kisya dam would be different. You would indeed need to do a separate bracha for each of the kisya dams. In other words, you could say like this. The shechita is the kisya dam is a continuation of the shechita. Once you shechted this type of creature that needs kisya dam, then automatically that triggers the chiyuv of kisya dam. So therefore, you can argue that kisya dam is not an interruption between one shechita and the next, and therefore even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you don't make a separate bracha for the shechita. But kisya dam is considered, but after all, the second shechita would be a hefsek between one kisi adam and the next. So each one would be something by itself. Or another way of looking at it is. That by the shechita, he had both creatures in front of him. So when he says the bracha al shekudishan mitzoyitzvan al shechita, then it goes on both of them. But when he does the kisi adam of the first one, the second kisi adam hasn't been triggered yet because it only applies after he checks it, and therefore that would require a separate bracha. So that's one way of looking at it, the number of Rishonim have. On the other hand, Rabbi Natam holds that you don't need a separate bracha for each shechita. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the same way the kisya adam, you actually wouldn't need a separate bracha for each kisya adam. You would do one bracha. So Rabbi Natam holds, and most of you showed him agree with him, that it means both of them. As long as you had in mind to do the shechita, to do the kisya adam, then you would do one bracha for the shechita and one bracha for all the kisya adams. With that said, though, it does say in Shulchan Aruch, you would have to be careful not to talk in between about something that's not necessary for the shechita. Otherwise, in fact, you would need to do kisya adam of the first one and then make another bracha on the shechita. Yeshayim, then Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that talking between one shchita and another is not a hefsek. Lemaisa, nowadays we see, for example, you do kaparas and you bring your kaparas up to the shchita. He does make a separate bracha on each one. He does make a separate bracha of shchita on each one. He doesn't do the kisya adan, actually. He usually leaves it to you, the person who's doing kaparas, to do the kisya adan, and you're the one who makes the bracha. But as far as the shchita, he does them individually. Each one he does a separate bracha for. In any case, so we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you only make one bracha as long as there wasn't a hefsek. But Pashtus, I guess, there with the shchita of kaparis, he is in fact interrupting between one and the next. He is sometimes talking and doing other things, and therefore he would have to make another bracha. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Amalei Ravina Lord of Acha Brei De Rava. However, Ravina says to Rav Acha Brei De Rava, Va'ami Lord of Acha Brei De Rava Lord of Ashi. Or others say, it was Rav Acha Brei De Rava who pointed out to Rav Ashi, Maishna Mitamid De Rav. You're telling me that in this case, Rav Yehuda would agree that even though you have the Kisya Adam in between one and the other, you still don't have to make another bracha on the second shchita. Why would it be any different than the case of the Tamidim of Rav? One time, Rabbi Runa and Rabbi Hananel, who were Talmidim of Rav, were one time sitting at a Suda, Koyim Alai, Rabbi Yehuda Sava, and Rabbi Yehuda Sava was standing over them and serving them. Omrulei, so they told him, Have Livrich, give us a cup of wine, we want a bench. Hodu Omrulei, then they changed their mind, and they told Rabbi Yehuda, Have Lishti, instead give us a cup of wine, we want to drink some more. Omrulei, Rabbi Yehuda Sava, said Rabbi Yehuda Sava, the waiter tells them, Omrulei, Omrulei, Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Hochi Omer Rav, you should know that Rav said, Kivin to Omer, Have Livrich, once you told me to give you a cup of wine for benching, meaning that shows that you've finished your Suda, so therefore, Itza, Leila Mishti Chamra, now you're not allowed to drink wine anymore, Now, Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel and Tosfos points out, Rabbeinu Hananel also say that doesn't mean you can't drink at all. It means if you want to drink another cup of wine, it means you're going to have to make another bracha on it. So in other words, I can give you the wine, but you're going to have to make another bracha on it because you were already Masiach Das. There are a couple of Rishonim who learn that it means that Rashi himself in bracha says that it would actually be that they'd have to bench and then that they'd have to bench. Because you have to, as soon as you finish the meal, you have to bench. But so there are Rishonim who learn that way. Although the consensus of Rishonim is more like what Rashi says over here, that it just means they can't drink anymore without making another before bracha. There are Rishonim also discuss what about is the same din as far as eating, or are we saying only as far as eating, as far as drinking, or would the same thing apply to eating? So in Shulchan Aruch it brings both opinions. It brings that the Rosh holds eating has the same din. You would have to make another bracha to eat, but the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ran hold that eating is different because sometimes you have as long as you haven't actually washed my machronim, you haven't been masiach das from eating. In any case, the point is. So Rav Yehuda Sava tells them that once you said we want a bench, then you can't drink anymore. Hochanami, you could argue over here, given the Ippalei Lekisri, once he got involved with Kisi Adam, Ichayev Le Bracha, he should be involved. He should have to make another bracha. So what are you telling me? Rav Yehuda would say that you don't need to make another bracha for the Shchita. And the answer is Hochi Hashda. How do you think to compare? Hosam Mishdu Veruchi Bahadi Hadoni Le'efsha. In that case, it's impossible to drink and bench at the same time. So when they say have livrich, give us a cup of wine, and we're going to bench, then necessarily it means that they intended to finish their soda, and therefore it's considered Hesach Hadas, and now if they want to drink again, then they're going to have to make another bracha. Here it's perfectly possible a person could conceivably be shechting with one hand and meanwhile doing the kisya adam with the other one, and therefore you can't say that he's really distracted himself from the shchita such that he should now have to make another bracha, so therefore it shouldn't necessarily apply. So in fact, you can say that Rabbi Yehuda would say that you don't have to make another bracha in that case just because you did the kisya adam in between, and that is in fact the halacha as long as you didn't actually talk or do other things in between. Tosfos brings a practical din from this. What about, for example, if a person interrupts his meal in order to daven? Would he have to bench and wash again and make hamotzi? Is that considered the same thing? After all, you can't eat and daven at the same time, so maybe then the same thing should apply. Tosfos says that no, because the difference is over here. Once you said, come, let's bench, then it means you finished. It's considered a hefset. But as opposed to davening, is not considered an end of the meal. No more so. Tosfos says, listen, if you hear thunder in the middle of a meal and you make bracha shekecha grasa mala olam, would you have to wash again? No, of course not. So the same thing over here, just because you left to daven doesn't mean that you should have to bench and wash again and start in between. So now, Tosfos also brings up the point that we were discussing before about Rishonim. What happens if you talk between one shkita and the next? Would you have to make a bracha? And in that case, maybe in that case, you shouldn't be allowed to, because then you're causing unnecessary brachas. So in fact, you could have a case, for example, where he was Masiach Das, he didn't intend to do any more shkita, and now there's more, then in fact, he would have to make another bracha. But otherwise, would he have to make another bracha? So again, in Shulchan Aruch it says that if he should be careful not to talk about Dabar Sheini Mitzorcha Ashchita, if he did, he would have to do Kisi Adam and make another bracha, but then not make another bracha on the Kisi Adam, Yeshoimim, then it's not a hefsek. So in practice, we do see, like I said, we do see the Shochtim by Kaporis, they do make a bracha after each shchita. Maybe in fact they are Masiach Das between one and the next. I don't know what the svara is exactly why they would. Maybe also because sometimes there are ones in between that are trefa, and maybe that's considered a Hesach Das as well.